name is Bob Barefoot, and I have a dream. You know, Kennedy once said, some men dream things that are and ask why. Other men dream things that never were and ask why not. Well, I have a dream. My dream is that I, my family, and that you and your family will one day soon live in a disease-free America. And that dream is possible.
Imagine a life with no sickness, no illness, no disease. What would that be like? Many of us have become so used to feeling bad that we can't even remember what it feels like to be healthy. During the next 60 minutes, you're going to hear a simple truth, an understanding of disease that is revolutionary, yet it's been known about for decades. Robert Barefoot, co-author of the book The Calcium Factor, is an internationally renowned biochemist whose insights have impacted the lives of hundreds of thousands of people across the world. Listen now as Bob Barefoot shares vital facts that can help safeguard you and your family from the unnecessary devastation of disease.
I was a young man, maybe 19 years old, on a bus in Belgium, and I read a Reader's Digest article called The Fountain of Youth. Well, that's quite a title. And I read the article. It was about two McGill University scientists who were experimenting with chemicals to see if they could retard or enhance youth. And what their theory was that the biggest trait of getting old is the transfer of calcium from the bones to the skin, giving you, leathery looking skin and wrinkly skin. And so they said, what happens if we interfere, enhance? And so they set out and they did 114 animal experiments. And they said, to make a long story short, they all failed except one. It went awry, they said. And what did they mean? Well, they had taken three old wrinkly rats, and they had injected them with large quantities of calcium and calcium carriers in the blood. And they said after the first week, they started to slow down. And they thought, wow, are we going to kill these? End of the second week, they could barely move. By the third week, they were totally immobilized, and they noticed that their skin was hard as wood. They had to feed them with tubes, but they kept up the experiment. And on the fifth week, the hard skin cracked open. They peeled it off, and below was pink baby skin. They immediately put the three rats in the cages with the newborns, and none of the 1,500 students could tell which was which. Boy, my mother-in-law would like that treatment. I'm telling you, that fascinated me, and I got hooked. I became a chemist, and when I got out in mid-60s, there were absolutely no jobs in biological chemistry, not with calcium anyways. Nobody had heard of it. When I got out, there was only two scientific publications on the subject. Now, if you want to put that in perspective, last year there were 19,700 scientific publications on biological calcium. It's the hottest topic in medical research, scientific research, biological research today. Every time you turn on your television, calcium added, calcium fortified, calcium, calcium, calcium. Wow. Why? Well, you look at your body and say, what am I? Well, everybody knows you're a lot of water, like 78% water. Well, that's hydrogen and oxygen. But if you add the gas nitrogen and the gas carbon in the form of CO2 and methane, believe it or not, you're 95% gas. Listen. What's left over? Almost half of it's calcium. Calcium is the most predominant mineral in the human body. Nothing even comes close to it, even if you add up all the others. Why? Well, in the book, The Calcium Factor, we get into the details, and we give you 200 or 300 biological reasons why calcium is the king of the biology. It's the king of all the bioelements, because it can do so many things, which I'm going to discuss with you tonight. The bottom line is, it is the king of the bioelements. You are calcium critters. And you must maintain your calcium levels. And the tragedy is, by the time the average American is 35, there's more calcium going out than in, and on begins disease. Right away, we started. It's the beginning of the end when that occurs, because you are calcium critters biologically, and you must maintain that calcium level. Anyways, I got into this, and there were no jobs, so I ended up in the oil industry. And I was stimulating oil wells. And it was kind of fun, because you know how you stimulate an oil well? You dump stomach acid down the well with hydrochloric acid. That chews up all of the sludge, and the whale doing 50 barrels a day suddenly goes up to 500, and you're a hero for a while. Trouble is, stomach acid, as it gradually neutralizes, produces a thick sludge, and that plugs off the whale. So the whale goes up to 500 and then down to 5 barrels, and you better be off the lease by the time it hits 5 barrels, so the owner will shoot you. Now, that's typical. That's not an exaggeration. That's what happens. So we said to ourselves, if the human body did this, we'd be dead. With all the calcium we consume, why don't we produce sludge? So we started an experiment. What we did was we put about 30 beakers on a laboratory table, and we put the wellbore cement at the bottom. And then we added the hydrochloric acid, stomach acid. And within 20 minutes, it had all dissolved, and they'd all look like bottles of water. We then neutralized it with baking soda, and it fizzed. And as soon as it became neutral, it produced a thick sludge. The sludge was so thick, you could take the beaker upside down, and nothing would come out. And that's why you plug off your oil wells. Well, why don't we plug off our bodies? So we said, okay, well, we got to add some additives. And we tried everything. We went to the books, and everything they said would work didn't. And then we finally kept it simple. We said, where do we get our calcium from? Milk. What's in milk? Lactic acid. So we added a little lactic acid to the experiment. And guess what happened? When we add the bicarbonate, neutralize it, it stayed crystal clear. Now, this is really important for you people because it's the key to why some of these products work so well. It stayed crystal clear when you neutralize it. In other words, it didn't produce a sludge. So, off to the well bore with my cow. And we also found one other product worked, and that was apple juice, malic acid. Now, government records show and prove to this day that the wells I treated with apple juice and milk produced 10 times the hydrocarbons of all the wells around them. So it works. Not only that, it was 1/10 the cost. They would come in with a 100,000 whack-em, frack-em oil job. I would go in with my little $5,000 milk job. What that did was, it got me speaking invitations, and it got me on the front covers of national magazines and newspaper write-ups. I wasn't a hero in the oil industry. They really didn't like men who put milk down wells. But I was a hero on television and radio. And so what happened was I got the attention of a Dr. Carl Riesch. Now, I'm going to take you back in his story. I want you to listen carefully, especially for the ingredients, because here's a doctor who back in the roaring 20s was very rich. His dad would be the equivalent of a billionaire today in stocks. And what do billionaires eat? He says, well, my dad had steak and eggs for breakfast, steak and soup for lunch, and steak and potatoes for supper, washed down with champagne. That was a typical diet. He said, after a while, he said he passed on the vegetables for more steak. Now, his parents and his whole family were sick. They were sickly. They had migraines. They were obese. Nothing worked. If a bug came in, they'd catch the flu. They were constantly sick. By 1928, Carl Riesch's grandmother died at the age of 58. And Carl Riesch did what all young children do. He rebelled. Dad says up, I'm going down. If he says left, I'm going right. Now, you see, his father only had one aberration in his diet. And that was every year on his birthday, he would drink 1 quart of buttermilk. It's a German tradition. So Carl Riesch says, okay, I'm going to drink 1 quart of buttermilk every day. That lasted for about 2 weeks, almost killed him, he said. But he switched to regular milk. His father also said to him, sun's bad for you. So he got a bathing suit, and he was naked in the sun practically all day long. It took him about 3 months to totally be a specimen, healthy, tanned, and no migraines, no headaches. He couldn't believe how healthy he was, and all he did was drink milk and go out in the sun. So he went to the doctor of the time, who was the doctor of the rich and wealthy. He told him, look, a change of diet and lifestyle, and I cured myself. And the doctor says, hocus pocus. Diet has nothing to do with disease. 1929 came along, and the stock crash wiped his father out, and they didn't have a nickel. They were so poor, they had to go live with an uncle, a fisherman on the West Coast, and they had to unload fish so they could put food on the table. And he says, guess what we had for breakfast? Fish and eggs. Lunch, fish and soup. And for supper, we had fish and vegetables from the garden and washed it down with milk from Daisy. And guess what had happened? His father became healthy within 3 months. The local doctor also said, hocus pocus, diet has nothing to do with the disease, but he says his whole family was cured with diet. Well, he became a doctor. He didn't quite finish when Hitler was attacking Europe. He wasn't going to wait for America. So in 1938, 4 years before America joined, he went to, of all things, the British Army. And he was a surgeon. And he was a good one. And he tried to practice, but it's hard to practice nutrition, in the foxhole, he said. But when he finished, he came back to America, did some scientific research and studies, published some papers, and in 1952, he hung up his shingle, Dr. Ferent. And he decided, though, that he was going to practice what he preached. All his patients come to him, and he asked them some questions, very complicated questions. First question, do you drink milk? If you said yes, category one. If you said no, he asked you the second question. If you don't drink it, do you like it? And some say, yeah, I like it, but I don't drink it. That's category two. Oh, I hate it, and I don't drink it. That's category three. He said it was a miracle. All 500 patients, category one, healthier than category two, healthier than category three. And you'd have to be an idiot, he said, not to know it was calcium, because that's what's in milk. So he took this, did a publication, and they wouldn't publish it. That's too simple. You're not going to degrade us by publishing diet. He got up to 2,000 patients, all fit, not one exception out of 2,000. Once again, he couldn't publish. Don't be silly. So he then said, I'm going to do something about it. So he took all the people in category one, and he did a survey. How much calcium are you drinking? A quart of milk, a half quart, how much you get? He added it up. Uh-oh. He was 2,000 milligrams a day. That was the average. 2,000 a day. In 1952, the recommended daily allowance, the RDA, was 650. Anything more could be toxic. And he says, but jeepers, they're eating 2,000 and they're healthy. That's stupid. Uh-uh. And you know, you got to put it in perspective. The 1980, too, when I met Dr. Reich, it was up to 800. Anything more could be toxic. In 1986, they bumped it to 1,000. Anything more could be toxic. Last year, it's 1,500. But anything more could be toxic. And by the year 2000, we're rooting for 2,000. With a rider, anything more could be toxic. Bottom line is, this is what the guy did. So he said, okay, fine, 2,000. I'm going to give all my patients 2,000 milligrams of calcium. So he tried all kinds of calciums, but he gave them 2,000. He said, within 2 weeks, they were all back. They were all constipated. So what do you do if you're constipated? Well, everyone knows that milk and magnesium is Mother Nature's, make you loose as a goose. So he started adding magnesium. So he gave them about 700-800 milligrams of magnesium. You know, 200 magnesium, 500 calcium, four times a day. Anyways, he did this. And he also looked into the publications of the day and made the discovery, of course he already knew this, that for every mineral there's an associated vitamin that helps it to work. What is it for calcium? Anybody know? Vitamin D. Why? Your intestine is lined with what we call vitamin D receptors. It takes 5,000 international units, which is only 1/10 of a milligram. You couldn't even see it. It's so tiny. But they put a big number on it because they do not want you to have it. Scare them with numbers. No, that's what they do. So he gave them 5,000 IU of vitamin D. So there's his recipe. 2,000 calcium, 800 magnesium, 5,000 vitamin D. He says, uh-oh, Bob, within 2 weeks, the migraines were gone. I was thinking, what's happening here? And everybody was nice, soft stool. And the other thing that happens to you when you go on this is 6:05 every morning, you're on the can, or you're a 7:03 man. But I got to tell you, you are going to be so regular. You won't believe how regular you're going to be. This thing works. And he says, but then other things started to happen. Other people started all of a sudden overcoming their diseases. He was stunned. He had arthritic people in wheelchairs. After 3 months, they're out in the golf course carrying their golf clubs. No pain, they're cured. He couldn't believe it. And he says, astoundingly, his best friend was given 6 weeks to live. He had a bad heart. It was terrible. 6 months later, he has the heart of a healthy young athlete. And the solution was constant. He did not know what the calcium factor was. They would not allow him to publish. He tried and tried, and finally, he got an invitation from the Max Planck Institute in Berlin in 1962. Now, that's the most prestigious scientific forum in the world. Every scientist would die to speak there. He gave his presentation before 4,500 in the crowd. It was packed. At the back of the room, there was a big fella. He wasn't even sitting down, walking back and forth, and he kept mumbling and sort of interfering as he was giving his speech. And he got a standing ovation after the speech, and the big guy came up, and he couldn't wait to ask him, what's your problem? He says, my problem is I know why the calcium factor works. And he says, who are you? He said, my name is Dr. Otto Warburg, 2-time Nobel Prize winner. He won Nobel Prize, I think, in 1927 and 1932 for cancer. You see, what this man had done is he learned what caused cancer. To prove it, he took 47 species of animals, from fish to horses, you name it, and he induced cancer in less than 30 days. He could take anybody in this room and give you cancer in 3 days. Now, doesn't he know what causes cancer? And what he said causes cancer was anaerobism, which means if you drive the oxygen out, you induce cancer. So what he did was he acidified. You see, the only technical thing you have to know in this room today is that if you have a beaker full of acid like vinegar, and if you have a beaker full of alkali like baking powder, and you squeeze oxygen over it, the alkali will absorb 20 times as much as the acid. So acids expel oxygen, alkalis absorb it. So what he did was he acidified their body fluids, drove out the oxygen, induced the cancer, and in 1932 he announced, we know what causes cancer, we know how to prevent cancer, and we sure know how to cure it. But he told Dr. Riche, unfortunately in 1932 cancer was such a big business that they put me in the corner, told me they would revoke my funds if I didn't shut up. He said, I had a wife and kids, I had to do what they told me. So for 30 years he languished. In 1932 we had the cure for cancer. He languished. Then in 1962, he's telling Dr. Riche, it's the calcium factor. You did the opposite of me. You see, the number one thing that calcium does to the human body is it keeps all your body fluids alkaline. It kills acid. It neutralizes the acid. So what you did was you alkalized them, filled them with oxygen, and terminated all the diseases. Dr. Riche and Dr. Warburg agreed to collaborate on the book, The Calcium Factor. Unfortunately, Dr. Warburg died before they could complete it. Dr. Riche couldn't complete it without somebody else's name on it because all he was a lowly doctor. Then he found me on the front cover in 1982 of some national magazine. I was leaning against a wellhead with a bottle of milk I was pouring down it. And I never did that. They dubbed it in. He came over to my house and said, they say you're the best calcium chemist. And I said, okay, so what can I do for you? He says, I want you to read this. And he had two stacks of paper. One was about 8 inches and one was about a half inch. I could look at the half-inch paper because it was bonded paper, you know, with all that wax stuff in the end. And it said official autopsy. And I thought, oh, what have I got myself into here? He said, I want you to read this. And I'm looking, my God, I looked at the big stack. No, no, not the big stack, the little stack. And he said, and I only want you to read the last page. And I said, but I know nothing about autopsies. Read the last paragraph. It's in English. I said, will you leave if I do that? He said, yes, I'll leave if you read the last paragraph and answer one question. So I read it. 5 autopsies. Died in her sleep. Died peacefully, died of unknown causes, and the one I liked the best was died with a smile on her face. He says, well, what'd they die from? I said, good health. They couldn't find anything. He said, well, what disease? I said, they'd have found a disease. They had no diseases. He says, well, isn't that strange? Because these are their medical records from Harvard, Yale, you name it. They were all terminal cancer patients. And I said, my God. And I looked at them and I said, well, some of these people lived 15 years. And they were terminal, given, you know, 3 days to live, 3 weeks. They lived 15 years. I said, my God, you've cured cancer in 5 out of 5. He says, oh, no, you don't understand. Paper's heavy. I got 105 more autopsies back at the office to show you. So he had 109 people in his career of 30 years that had terminal cancer that he's got the autopsies on and he's got the medical records, and they're cured according to the autopsies. Wow, I was hooked. I said, boy, I'll help you, but we're not going to do what I do or what you do. We're not going to go out there and start talking genes and drawing molecules and confusing the people. You've just given me the key, the calcium factor. I got the key to the problem. We're going to keep this so simple that even my mother-in-law will understand. And I meant that. And so he gave me his pass into the library. And you ever been to a medical library? They got this oak table that costs twice as much as my house. And they got these soft chairs and no indentations. They're puffy because nobody sits on them except me. I said to her, calcium, cancer, calcium, cancer. Give me what you got. And she put a stack of paper like that. And I can read these fast. That's what I do for a living. I got them. And it virtually verified what he's saying. It's the key to cancer. All these things. And then if you read the book, The Calcium Factor, I quote 65 Nobel Prize winner and 300 top scientists. You read what they say. Calcium is the key to cancer. But then I said to the librarian, I don't know why I said it, do you have any pictures? He says, yeah, but they're only in the big binded books. I said, which books are those? Well, when you get universities, 400 or 500 scientists get together, they'll bind their books in a big book form. And she brought me out 3. I grabbed the first one and I opened it and I went, crank. And of course, she turned around and looked at me. She liked me by then, so she didn't scold me. I said, I'm so sorry, but I said, I guess not very many doctors read these books. And you know what she said? You're the first. And I asked Dr. Riche, and he said, Bob, no doctor has time to read. We depend on the FDA to keep us informed. No. It's true today. It's true today. Trust me, it's true. Anyways, you wouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to come to the same conclusion I did, because they had pictures. Big, ugly cancer tumor, like the size of an orange, black. They cut it in half, and they put it in two beakers. They fill it with body fluids, keep it body temperature for 4 days to see how it grows. Before they start, they put a pinch of calcium salts in one of the beakers. 4 days later, the one without the calcium is the size of a grapefruit. It had grown 400%. The other one was the size of a pea. In 1982, if you had cancer, you would be saying, give me the calcium salts. Because there are picture after picture. In the book, I list the public. You can go look and read yourself. The bottom line is they existed. I couldn't believe that here we are in these learned libraries, and they've got the evidence under their nose. It works. And nobody's listening. So I then said, okay, we're onto something hot here. Calcium cancer, calcium cancer. So I had a team of five scientists join me in the university libraries looking for calcium cancer. Because what we said to ourselves, if calcium prevents cancer or cures it, surely, then when people take a lot of calcium, they should not get sick. So let's go look for where people drink a lot of milk. That's all we got to do. But unfortunately, nobody writes about that, so there is no literature. And I'm frustrated. In 2 weeks, five scientists couldn't find one publication on calcium consumption and cancer. Don't do that today, because you're going to find thousands. But back then we couldn't. So I'm in my barber's chair. My mother-in-law's husband, my father-in-law, is a barber, and he's clipping me. I was saying to him, tell him about my predicament, and he says, well, the reason that you can't find anything is because that you are what I call a stupid scientist. And I says, oh, and I suppose a smart barber has a solution? He says, as a matter of fact, I do. Okay, now this really happened back in 1982, approximately. So here he is, giving me a rough time, telling me that he can solve my problem, okay? And here I am saying, this guy's crazy. He walks over to the wall where he has every issue of the National Geographic for the last 60 years. They're all yellow, and this one. Ah, here it is. 1973. And it tells about four cultures around the world that live to be 100 routinely, never get sick, never get cancer, never get this, never get that, never get... So bingo. We thought, wow. I said, have you got any more? And he pulled out one with a Chinaman that was 270 years old. He pulled out one with a Canadian Eskimo on the front cover. And the Canadian Eskimo was interesting because Eskimos never had cancer, never had heart disease, never had diabetes, lived long ages, and they ate 78% blubber. And tons of salt. So obviously, fat and salt don't cause problems, because look, you got these people. We fed them, it changed. We found other cultures, Aborigines in Australia, and where I come from in Phoenix, there were the Hopi Indians, and of course, at that time, it was well documented. You've got 17,000 Hopis, not one with cancer. They do have liver problems from alcohol, but nobody has cancer. Now, how can you have 17,000 people living in an ocean of cancer? This room is an ocean of cancer. Did you know at the turn of the century, 3% of the population got cancer? When Dr. Reese started his practice in 52, 20%. Then we had President Nixon declare war on cancer. It was 27. Today it's 38%. By the year 2009, 50% of you will get cancer. And by the year 2029, 100% of you will have cancer. And of that 100%, 60% will have heart disease and 40% will have diabetes. You're not going to make it. That's what the numbers are saying. So here we are looking at this thinking this is quite incredible. But we had the key, you see. Unlike anybody else, we knew what it was. So quickly I added the Bamas in China. They're living on these high mountains. They're called the Bamas. They also, there's a group in Tibet too. And then to our amazement, we found another culture at sea level, the Okinawans. And we said, uh-oh. You know, it's not just the Azerbaijanis and the Titicacas, all high in the mountains. Now, we knew, because it was obvious, it's what they're eating or drinking, and their water, when we analyzed it, not only had the essential minerals that you're all aware of, what else did it have? How much? Every quart has 8,300 milligrams of dissolved, ionized, and it also has 9,700 milligrams of unionized, for a total of 18,000 milligrams. And you're told 1,000 is your maximum. Anything more could be toxic. And these people have the audacity to drink 3, 4, 5 quarts a day. Then they put it on their soil and their potatoes and their tomatoes and everything's loaded with calcium. By the time we added up, how much calcium are these guys getting? 120,000 milligrams a day. Why are you worried about 1,000? Now, this is important because what it tells us, also they have 80 times the RDA of potassium. In fact, the average was the RDA is violated over 100-fold for every vitamin and mineral. And it wasn't just the Hunzas. The same thing happened in Okinawa. You see, they don't have melting glaciers with ground-up rock. That's where they get their water from. They live on an island of calcium. Coral reefs are calcium carbonates. They weather. They form dozens of calcium compounds. And in the weathering reef, it forms what they call a coral sand. They dig it up and eat it. They dig it up and give it to the people. They are well over 100,000 milligrams of calcium a day, too. So there's the common denominator. Your body will take what it needs and pass the rest. Trust me, that's the way it works. Your body knows best. Those were the facts then. But the real fun was to say, what are these guys eating? Yeah, oh boy, you wouldn't believe that. Visit the Titicacas, they all like omelets. Did you know that? You know how they make their omelets? Big iron pan. And they all love butter. They'll put a half a pound to a pound of butter in it. And then when it gets going good, they'll throw in a pound of bacon. They love bacon fat. Now hold it, this is the average. I'm telling you the average. Once that gets stirred up, they'll throw in 4 cups of goat's milk and 12 eggs. Stir it all up. It's so bland that they'll take 2 handfuls of salt and drop it in. Now, in 1982, I said, that's it. That's got to be wrong because everybody in the world knows that salt is not good for you. Salt raises your blood pressure. And you know how I know? My doctor told me. You know how he knows? The drug industry told him. Did you know that we looked and looked and looked, and I've had 100 scientists look for 18 years, and they haven't found one scientific publication in the world that says that salt raises your blood pressure? Not one. There is no scientific validation to that statement. I'm forced to make double-blind studies and do everything scientifically, but they can make any statement as long as they sell drugs. Bottom line on this is, think about it. We did find 17 publications that said the opposite, and they're astounding ones. I'll give you two. The Albert Einstein Institute of Medicine last December, along with the Cornell Medical University, did a massive study on tens of thousands of men and women, diet versus heart disease. They had two conclusions. The first conclusion was, no amount of salt raises your blood pressure even 1 unit. Second conclusion, the men and women who doubled their salt from 1 teaspoon a day to 2 teaspoons a day reduced heart disease by 400%. They further went on to show how that high sodium content induced more hormone productions that are conducive to lowering heart disease. In other words, they showed why it worked. So here you still are thinking, oh, salt's bad for your blood pressure. Exactly the opposite. Whoa, so I was wrong about what this guy has for breakfast as far as the salt's concerned. And then, you know, it's true. They go out and they like their tea and they'll put in butter and salt in their tea all day long. Everything you're told is bad. Now, you've got to know that the butter's good for you. Because if you haven't learned by now, for 30 years there's been scientists pleading to put warning labels on margarine. You have margarine and you're going to have stroke, heart disease, dozens of diseases induced by unnatural fat. Margarine isn't natural, it's man-made. And we know there's cis trans fats in there, and if you want to see your cholesterol count go up, just take margarine. It'll double and triple. Butter, everything natural, made by God, works. So I knew the butter was good for him, but then I saw all that milk and I said, ooh, my doctor says milk's bad for you. He says, you know, if you're supposed to drink milk, how do you explain that after 4 months the calf doesn't drink milk anymore? Even the cows don't do it. And I said to my doctor, well, what are you saying? He's saying, I'm saying that humans don't have to have milk. They only need to have it to start off. I said, well, what are they going to do next? They can get it from their diet. I said, well, that's very fine, doctor. Let's do the calculations. We see the calf stops drinking the milk and then goes out and eats a bushel of grass. And when I add up the calcium, he's actually getting more. My 4-month-old baby stops, and you got to feed him the highest one, spinach. He doesn't like that. But how about broccoli? That's loaded. And we have to add up that 4-month-old baby to maintain 22 pounds of spinach plus 15 pounds of broccoli every day. I want you guys to think about this. We're not cows. But that's the type of logic they have, half logic. You go halfway. So I knew that, okay, so let's get to this milk issue, because milk was a calcium issue. It's a calcium factor. Well, when you start looking, you can hear all the stories you want, mucus, this, and they're all tainted and slanted, and they're not double-blind and they're not scientific. When you look at the scientific studies, and they're massive, I'll give you one in the book I talk about. 1988, they did a 10-year study, the Royal Academy of Medicine and Science in Britain. This is the number one most prestigious scientific organization in the world. They studied tens of thousands of men and women from the age of 45 to 55, diet and heart disease. Two conclusions. You're not going to believe this one. The men and women who have two glasses of milk a day reduce heart disease 400%. And those that had four glasses reduced heart disease 1,000%. Now, they said it didn't matter if it was skim, whole, 2%. The calcium's not in the fat. It's the calcium factor, they said, that did it. Bingo. So here we have now the two number one and two killers in America, cancer and heart disease, and we found the magic drug. It's called calcium. The bottom line is, it was real. So, the milk was good in that omelet. But you got to know the eggs are killers. Why? My doctor told me so. Yeah, but don't laugh. I mean, my doctor knows what he's talking about. He says every time we open these guys up, the plaque is full of cholesterol. That therefore proves that, you know, cholesterol and heart disease are tied together. I said, well, wait a minute now. I says, if you're found at the scene of the crime, you're guilty? He says, yes, in this case. I said, well, then we go arrest all the police because they're found at the scene of the crime too. That's medical logic. Why don't we ask ourselves, why is it there? Well, I'm going to show you guys something here. Back in 1967, a man called Dr. Kilmer McCulley in New York, he was the Dean of Medicine of the University of New York. The Dean of Medicine. He made a discovery, and he published it. He found, was taking thousands and thousands of people, that the more acid built up around the artery, the more heart disease. So he therefore said heart disease was caused by this acid build up around the artery, the type of acid you get when you don't take your calcium. But he made the mistake of following up his conclusion with saying, therefore, cholesterol drugs are not necessary. Now, in 1967, the cholesterol industry was a $7 billion a year industry. And if you ever look at the side effects of cholesterol drugs, heart attack, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, cancer, you'll see that you need $20 billion worth of drugs to counter the effects of the $7 billion cholesterol. And that's exactly what happens. They piggyback the drugs. So because you fear cholesterol, in 1967, they sold $30 billion worth of drugs. And here's this little doctor telling him that cholesterol has nothing to do with heart disease. 3 weeks later, he lost his tenure to teach. 3 weeks following that, he lost his license. He went home to tend his roses. That's what he told me. But guess what? I'm going to show you a newspaper article, and it's the Arizona Republic, Sunday, June 1998. Oops, that's the study vindicates egg. Apparently, none of the cholesterol in your body comes from the egg. Your body produces 89% of the cholesterol that's in there. And this study says everyone should have at least two eggs a day. Oops, a dozen eggs are looking good. Heart attack theory. This is Thursday, and this was compiled from the Washington Post, New York Times, Los Angeles Times. New heart attack theory. That inflammation of blood vessel walls is the primary cause of heart attacks and strokes, and cholesterol has nothing to do with it. Doesn't end there. The world's paying attention now, and the Nobel Prize Committee found out about it. And this is the New York Times paper. It's called the New York Times Magazine, August 10th, 98, The Rise and Fall of Kilmer McCulley. 30 years ago, he came up with a theory. He has now been nominated for two Nobel Prizes. He has been reinstated as a dean of medicine. He's been given his license back, and he's been given the job of teaching doctors that cholesterol has nothing to do with heart disease. Now, I have to tell you, as a chemist, I was horrified that you could even think that. You know why? What are you? Back to your body. The most important molecule in the human body is cholesterol. Every cell is cholesterol, phospholipid, it's like the 2x4s in the house. That's what gives your cell structure. Every hormone in your body is cholesterol derivative. Your testosterone, your estrogen, name one, they're all cholesterol. Your brain is 78% cholesterol. You don't need cholesterol, you don't need brains then. And think about this. They're the same thing. You eat what your problem is. And there's what happens. My grandfather told me, he says, Bob, do you want to know something? When I was a young man, there wasn't anybody with Alzheimer's. None. Now, 50% of the people, 72, get Alzheimer's. What happened in those 60 years? Well, we've been brainwashed into not eating eggs. And there's a direct correlation between the lack of a... It's called a cholesterol deficiency disease. The main cause of Alzheimer's is the lack of cholesterol in your system. Just like when you don't eat your calcium, if you don't eat your cholesterol, you're going to be in big, big trouble. Bingo. So now we look at the eggs. Everything they ate and everything you're told not to eat. So you know what that means, ladies? You can go home tonight, plug in that movie, get the popcorn, pile the butter on, pile the salt on. Yeah. Hey, but when you get up in the morning, you make the old man a big plate of greasy bacon and eggs. Because I got to tell you, it turns out to be one of the most nutritious meals ever eaten by man. As long as you don't start adding the pastas and the paste. The bottom line is, God made these things, and apparently God knows what he's doing, even though we're told he doesn't. Don't eat salt. God made that. Don't eat eggs. God made that. Don't drink milk. God made that. But eat my unnatural margarine. Eat my corn oil. Have you ever squeezed corn and got oil out of it? As a chemist, I could take this rug and make oil, but I wouldn't have you eat it. But you know what? All the scientific studies are now showing that if the average woman would just take a tablespoon of animal fat a day, natural fat, not man-made fat, you reduce your chance of breast cancer 100%. Did you know that? Another one. Your chance of stroke is reduced by 100% if you're a man and you take a tablespoon of animal fat a day. The Eskimos knew what they were doing. They didn't eat the margarine, the corn oil, the vegetable oil, and neither should you. You should have what's natural, and it works every time. So now we know fat. Fat doesn't put on fat. Never. These people eat all the fat in the world. Sugar puts on fat. Starch puts on fat. Fat produces energy, and it produces mucus material that actually detoxifies the body. So next time, gentlemen, when you sit down for that steak, don't feel guilty. Eat the fat. It works. God knew what he was doing. One of the things that I'm so distraught about is the fact that black America has 70% more disease than white America. Did you know that? 70% more cancer, 70% more diabetes. Why? They live here with us. They eat the same things we do. It can't be the food. What do they do? What's different about the black community in America? And don't tell me genes, because I've been to Africa many times. I got friends in Ghana, Nigeria. They have exactly the same genes. And they don't have any of the diseases that our blacks do. So it can't be genes. Well, let me give you a hint. When I have a map of America and I put on breast cancer, the women in the northern tier states have 197% more cancer than the southern tier states. I can show you maps of prostate cancer. From the Mexican border to the Canadian border, it goes up 287%. It's called the sunshine cancer. I'm in L.A. This is a true story. I have a friend who's a rocket scientist. He's black. And he's driving me around, and we go by this beach, and the Baywatch girls are on. And man, they're playing this volleyball. I tell you, I thought I died and gone to heaven. I said, look, we're early. Let's catch a few rays. And you know what he said to me? Are you out of your mind? Blacks don't sunbathe. And I watched carefully, and that's the key. So here's what happened. We sat down and had a nutritious meal. I had sunbathed. My vitamin D receptors were full. I absorb 20 times as much calcium, 1,000% more other nutrients, and he's eating the same meal I am. He doesn't get the nutrition. I do. He gets the disease. I don't. It's very simple. I've even started sunshine clubs in Africa, Ghana, because you see, in Ghana, they have a tragedy. They're naked in the sun all day long, stark naked, up to the age of 35. Not one case of skin cancer. Millions of people in the sun, not one case of skin cancer. Now, you know your doctor tells you the sun's bad for you. God didn't know what he's doing. But I'm telling you that all the people that are in the sun never get cancer, ever. You go to Mexico, they're almost stark naked there, too. No cancer. And don't tell me genes, because we can mix and cross that border, too. It's not a gene factor. It's a sunshine factor. When they absorb their nutrients, which the sun allows... See, the sun doesn't just produce vitamin D. It produces inositol triphosphate, which regulates all your minerals in the body. It produces 1,000 other chemicals that you've got to have. You can't avoid the sun. You take a plant out of the sun, it dies. If you get out of the sun, you die with it. God knew what he was doing. We can write books on the thousands of things the sun does, and let me look at the glasses. God didn't know you were going to wear your glasses. So they've done the studies with twins, two twins outside for an hour. They come back in. They check the hormones. Well, a twin with the glasses produced parathyroid hormone, See, behind your eyes is your pituitary gland. Behind your eyes is your pineal gland. Behind your eyes is your hypothalamus. All the major glands to control your body are behind your eyes and, unfortunately, behind your glasses. The glasses prevent the UV light from hitting them and stimulating them. So the twin comes in with the glasses on, and he produces parathyroid hormone, which is a bad one. The twin, without him, produces calcitonin, which says, don't go to the bones and get the calcium. And they've done study after study after study. God knew what he's doing. Now we get back to, if you want to be healthy, you got to have your glasses off for at least an hour a day in the sun. Because how are we going to regulate your hormones if you keep interfering, roadblocking? There are biological functions that are crucial. You've got to let go, guys. Anyways, we're back to these people here. All over the world, you find them. Millions and millions that never get sick. And they age at half the rate. Now, the aging is easy. You see, we've ID'd it. Everyone's heard of DNA because of O.J. Simpson. The bottom line, DNA is it has to replicate. And if DNA replicates, you stay young and you heal. Now, how does DNA replicate? Well, DNA has what we call four nucleotides. They're four little carbons, C5, C4s, four little things. And if the nucleotides are produced, your DNA replicates. Now, the nucleotides are produced from your glucose, which is the number one nutrient coming into the cell. But if the inside of the cell is acidic because you didn't get your calcium from nutrients, then it cuts the glucose in half and forms lactic acid. Now the cell becomes so toxic and acidic, it breaks up the membrane and lets the carcinogens in. Then it combines with toxic enzymes in the mitochondria, forms mutated nucleotides that get in the DNA, bend it, and mutate it. And we know exactly. We can draw how cancer goes and what caused it. What caused it? The acid in the cell. What caused that? The lack of calcium consumption. Why don't these people ever get it? They consume 100,000 a day, and you're worried about 1,000. So as long as you got it there, you cannot get cancer. It's physically impossible to have cancer in an alkali. Every researcher in America knows that. When you put that tumor in a beaker with the alkali, it's dead, just like the pictures show you. So the question is, why don't you become alkaline? Now, for a child, Dr. Reese discovered it takes 4 days and you can make a child alkaline and cure asthma, allergies, all kinds of wild things you cure in 3 or 4 days. If you're about 20 years old, it may take 2 weeks. If you're 40, it might take 3 months. If you're 60, it might take 6 months. If you're 70, it might take up to a year. So this won't happen overnight. But if you start taking your vitamins and nutrients and minerals, your body will alkalize, fill with oxygen, and you will allow it to cure itself. You will allow it to keep you young. Now, let's talk this age thing, because I heard suggestions that, when my mother died, she was 70, therefore, she's had her life. What age do you expect to live to in this room? The average is 74 in America. If I asked that question 150 years ago, in 1840, the average life expectancy was 40 years old. Did you know that? And anybody that lived 50 has got to be the oldest guy in the world. Then in 1890, it was 48 years old. And everybody in the room would have said, 48, 73, are you kidding? Nobody can live that old. So here you are, 73, 74, you're brainwashed. You know, I like to quote the Bible. What is it? Adam living to be 930 years old. He talks about Cain, 910. Noah, 950. And then the floods came, washed the nutrients out. And you got Abram only living to 175. And Jacob, he was but a mere 147. Then I quote Genesis 6:3. What does it say? I don't read it. Man shall not be immortal, but man shall live to be at least 120. So we got something to go by. But what I'm going to introduce you is the biological sevenfold factor. Because, there's something wrong. Take a dog. A dog matures at 2 years, and the average dog lives to 14. 14 over 2 is 7. Take a horse. A horse matures at 3, lives to 21. 21 over 3 is 7. Take a rabbit. A rabbit matures 11 months, lives 6 years, 7. Take a hamster, 5 months, 3 years, 7. Take a human, 18 years, 120, no, 60, 73. We're the only 3-4-fold factor in biology. So if the whole biological community is times 7, what's happening to us? What I'm saying is, it's out of sync. If creatures from outer space came and studied the situation, They would look at the whole animal kingdom and say, okay, times seven, humans must live to 120. But nah, we are what we eat and we are what we don't eat. The refrigerator added 20 years to our lives because it allowed us to have more nutrients during the winter months. But as you know, the soils don't allow you to have it. You've got to get these supplements, and they're against the law. So, anyways, the bottom line is that the sevenfold factor is there. Because, you see, what happens is, I don't want to be 100-year-old George Burns. I want to be like this guy. He's 108. He looks 65. That's what I want to be, and you can be, too. I've had friends that are so sick, they look like they aged 20 years. They then go to Hawaii, get on their bikinis, get out in the sun, have their Mai Tais, come back, and they look like they lost 30 years. You've got to trust Mother Nature. The sun is so good for you. It will allow the nutrients to work. And the nutrients you must have are the calcium and the magnesium. And I'll talk about that, because I've been talking about calcium. Let's talk about magnesium. It's the next most crucial. They work hand in hand. They're antagonists. They go together. They fight each other, and they work together. The ratio, as Dr. Reich found, was about 2 to 5. And what happens then is, the magnesium likes to get into the cell. And when the calcium gets into the cell, you see, the calcium's number one job, it can latch on to 7 nutrients and 1 water, and it pulls them into the cell. Then digestive process occurs, and everything gets peeled off, and the presence of the magnesium with the same charge pushes the calcium out the calcium channels, where it grabs another 7 nutrients. And so they work in tandem together to feed your body. Magnesium is crucial. Now, where are you going to get your calcium from if you don't drink the milk? And if you don't like milk, do not drink milk. Because what it's telling you is you're so full of lactic acid that any more lactic acid will harm you. Your body knows best. If you don't like it, don't drink it. The bottom line is, where do you get it? Well, I turned on the TV set and they said, take a Tums. I almost fell over. I thought, oh my God. You know what a Tums does? It's calcium carbonate. It goes into your stomach and forms calcium chloride. It's ionized. But the instant it goes into your duodenum, it neutralizes, and if I did it in a beaker, you'd have that thick sludge you couldn't even pour out. It co-precipitates your other nutrients, and out into constipation it goes. And at the same time, the people taking the Tums are the elderly, and the elderly only produce 1/5 the stomach acid that the young people do. They don't have enough for their own digestive purposes, and now we give them something to knock it out. So you get your little bit of calcium, and you lose all your other nutrients. You have to have ionized, pre-digested products. When Dr. Reese was giving his calcium, he searched and searched and searched. Now remember my oil wells, lactic acid? What happens then? If you have a lactate present, so you go to your products there and you start looking around, okay? And what you're looking for, does it have any lactates? Because when it gets in your stomach, it doesn't need to be digested, don't lose the acid. Now it goes into your duodenum and neutralizes. If the lactates are there, it stays ionized. And you have 100 times the chance of absorbing it. So you want lactates. That's why God made milk. So if you can't drink the milk, you try to find a product that has lactate in it. Because that is more important than the calcium. It'll keep everything ionized and allow you to absorb 10, 20, 30 times. The average elderly person consuming calcium tablets absorbs 2 to 3%. Did you know that? If they start getting out in the sun, getting products that have the lactate in it, and most important, having a product with the right magnesium ratio, they'll start absorbing 20 and 30 times as much. Honest. So you'll get 20 or 30 times the bang for your buck if you find the right products, okay? And that's all I'm telling you. Look, they're out there. They're great products. Just so you know, your intestine has millions of feli. They're little wiggly-like worms, and that has to absorb things. The calcium doesn't absorb in that. What it does is bile comes along, or some anion that you provided. If it's pre-chelated, the calcium's on the end of this big long chain like a string, slips in by charge perfectly and gets sucked in. Chelated material just really absorb. If it's ionized, bile comes along, forms the same chelation, and in it goes too. The trick is to keep it ionized long enough for the bile to chelate it to absorb it into your intestine. So you want ionized material, and I tell the elderly, if you want to increase your nutrient consumption, if you like milk, have a glass of milk at mealtimes. If you can't drink milk, have a glass of apple juice at mealtimes. And I say, if you're going to take tablets, never ever take the tablet without putting it in a blender and beating it up. And always, always take your nutrients at mealtimes, because that's when you have the acid to digest it. All these instructions about during the day and the night are crazy, because we can show you that you're not going to absorb it unless you do these things. So, my message to you guys is to get out in the sun, I'll tell you about one last culture. Americans. Centurions. 3 out of every 100,000 Americans make it to 100. Three. You know how much it is in the Hunzas? 3,700. The same is true in Japan. The Okinawans, their average life expectancy is 103. That's average. Ours, a 3. So now we go and we look at the state of Colorado, who gathered up 400 of their centurions, 415 of them, and they had a list of questions, 300 long, to find out why they live so long. Oh boy, you want to be there. Well, first, they're all in the sun for 7 hours a day. Second, they all drink milk, goat's milk, cow's milk. Third, and this is the real thing that shocked me, there's not a vegetarian amongst them. The average vegetarian dies 10 years before the average non-vegetarian. I think the age is 65 for a vegetarian, 74 for the average American. You see, although you live healthy because your body stays alkaline because of vegetables, without the protein, you can't build. Without building, you wither. And over time, you have to have the protein. Biologically, we can't reinvent the body. The body has to have protein. And the other thing that amazed me about these people is every one of them drink 2 to 3 ounces of alcohol a day, which is highly beneficial to your digestive system. Now, that's not enough to get drunk. That's just like a stiff drink a day. But they all do this. If you ask yourself, what are they doing? That's what they're doing. They're drinking, and guess what? All scientific studies validify that it's beneficial in moderation like that. So, boy, you look at these guys and say, wow. And they look so young. And they're Americans. And, you know, I like to ask you this. Americans are always, we have all the answers, but we don't have any solutions. So what we say is, the oldest person in the world is 113 in Connecticut because she has a birth certificate, right? This guy's daddy is 149. He doesn't have a birth certificate. Well, if he was 149, he was born in 1850, and we didn't even issue birth certificates till 1869. He had to wait 20 years to get his. So you can't use birth certificates. That's very, very foolish thinking, but that's the way we think, and we're locked in because our masters say that's the only prerequisite for gauging age. It's not. These people do live that long. The biblical patriarchs did live that long. There's all kinds of proof. One of these guys, he's got a grandson that's 50 with a birth certificate from Chicago. He's got to be at least 100. You know, I mean, the bottom line is we can prove to you that you can live this long. You can live healthy this long. And if you just do and get the message here today, you'll add 30 years to your life of healthy, free living. Now, I have a dream, you know, and my dream is that all of us, our families, our loved ones, you know, will quickly live to see this disease-free America. We know how to do it. And I'm hoping that with the new information and the new vision that you people got here today, that you're going to go out there and help me accomplish the task of curing America. I'd heard about your product, and what I wanted to see was, I don't believe things. I look at the labels, okay? And what I looked on this label was, you have duplicated Dr. Reich's formula. I mean, that's exactly what he did. But even more importantly, you did what we couldn't do back then. We needed products that had lactates in them for the purpose of maintaining the ionization in the duodenum. You got it in yours. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, whoever designed this sure knew what he was doing. And I can tell you this, I have recommended and recommended till I'm blue in the face. I could get no one to produce a product like this. But I'm telling you, it is an exact duplication of Dr. Reich's successful formula. But you've got to throw in a few of those juice tabs to get some vitamins. If you throw in those juice tabs, boy, you have a winner. And if you just did that, it is a phenomenal product. In fact, it's probably the best man-made nutrient in America today. That's what I believe. Okay?
Do yourself the biggest favor of your life. Get back with the person who shared this tape with you and find out about the best calcium supplement on the market today. This tape is for information purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, prevent, treat, or cure any disease. If you have any serious medical conditions, please see a qualified healthcare professional. Thanks for listening.